Tonight I'd like to share with you some things that has taken me many years to learn, and I'd like to pass this on. I'm now 65 years old, and I've studied the scriptures for 35 to 40 years, and there's things that I've learned that I've never heard taught about in a church. I've never heard it addressed in a Bible college or seminary or any religious group that I was in. And I'm going to share one of those things with you tonight. In the summer of 1993, I received an article, actually a newspaper, from the Logos Bible Software Company, which were making Christian Bible software to put on your computer. Today, many people go to the internet because a lot of translations and Bible dictionaries and Greek and Hebrew and things like this can be access free on the internet today. And so Bible software is not used as much on private computers as it used to be years ago when you downloaded it into your hard drive. But I've gotten many Bible programs, Bible software programs, and Logos at one time was the leader in Bible software. They put out a paper, and they put this paper out in the summer of 1993, and it helped me understand many things that I did not know and understand, and it took me a while to do research to find out these things. And like I said, I've never heard a church ever talk about this. I've never heard a pastor ever talk about this or a Bible seminary. So I want to share it with you tonight. In this article, it says Greek to me. Why is Logos, the Bible software program producer, why does it have different Greek text? And this is what it says in this article. It says, why does Logos offer different Greek text? The reasons may or may not be familiar to you. It all revolves around the issue of missing autographs. The mystery of missing autographs. The mystery, by autograph, we mean the original manuscript written by the original author. For example, Paul's letter to the Romans, written and hand-signed by Paul. This document was probably passed around so many times and copied so many times that it finally fell apart or got lost among its own copies. The point is, we don't have any known autographs, just copies and copies of copies, and the copy machines in those days had legs and could walk. So we don't have any original manuscripts. When people say, I go back to the original manuscripts, we don't have any autographs. That is the letter, for instance, written by Paul himself of the book of Romans, because that manuscript and parchment probably fell apart years ago. But before that happened, it was copied and copied and copied extensively. And as this article says, in those days, the copy machines had legs and they could walk. So the Apostle Paul got in his boat and sailed off in all directions. The manuscripts and their copies spread throughout the entire known world. Those manuscripts that went north and west became known as the Byzantine or Western text. Those that traveled south and east became known as the Alexandrine or Eastern text. These are the two basic text families. The manuscripts that propagated in the north and the west were copied extensively as Christianity spread throughout Europe. The manuscripts in the South, on the other hand, were copied infrequently and spent centuries in storage. As a result, there are many recent Middle Ages manuscripts in the West and a few ancient 3rd or 4th century manuscripts in the East. And these Eastern manuscripts were rediscovered in the 1800s, with the result that most of our modern Bible translations since that time have based their Bible translation on the Eastern manuscripts because they say they are older. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. The best known Western text is the Textus Receptus. The best known Eastern text is called the Critical Text. It's also known by the names of the scholars who have worked on the text, including Westcott and Hort, Nessel, Messenger. Which text, Eastern or Western, is the correct text? In this article from the Logos Bible Software, says this, let us be perfectly clear. We don't know. There are many books written on the subject of which family of texts more accurately reflects the original autographs, but we do not take a position as a tool provider. We know this. It is easier to study the issue with a full set of tools. That's why we've provided the two principal Greek texts. Coming from the Western manuscript tradition, the Byzantine or the majority, what they call the majority Greek text, is put together from hundreds of fragments and pieces, and it represents the text that agrees in number with the majority of Western manuscripts and partial manuscripts. It is from this family of the Western or the Byzantine text that we have our King James Version, we have our Geneva Bible that the pilgrims brought over, we have the New King James Version, Young's Literal Translation, Tyndale's Translation, Martin Luther's German Bible. On the other hand, sometimes referred to as the critical text or the Eastern manuscript tradition, this is the Greek text that is used widely today in many Bible translations, in a lot of seminaries and Bible colleges. It's the Greek text that is identical to that of Nessel, the 26th edition. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. There are two basic texts, a Western text and an Eastern text. But there is no doctrines in the Bible that are violated from these two texts. In other words, the Eastern text will teach the deity of Christ. The Western text will teach the deity of Christ. The Eastern text will teach the resurrection, bodily resurrection. The Western text will teach the bodily resurrection. When you compare the two, you'd see no doctrines of the scripture violated, but yet there are differences here, and this is what I want to bring out to you in the next few moments that we have together. I have chosen to use the Western text from which the King James Version, New King James Version, Geneva Bible, Young's Literal Translation, Martin Luther's German Bible, Tyndale's Bible has been translated from. Now, the reason that I have chosen to use that Greek text as a comparison to the other translations, to the Eastern text and their translations, is I'm going to bring these basic facts to you now, why I've chosen the Western text. Now, this is just an observation. A few years ago, I was in a church one night. A girl fell to the ground. She was demonized. She was demon-possessed. And I got myself into a situation where I was dealing with this girl. And these demons were talking out of her and really threatening me in some sense. And I was just 25 years old, and I was just like, whoa, what? I might even been younger than that. I never had an experience like this before. I didn't know what to do, but I always believed the Bible had power in it. I just didn't know how to get it out. But I had a Bible with me that night. I turned it open to Philippians chapter 2, just in a random way. I began to read it. It says that Jesus had equality with God, but yet he humbled himself. He emptied himself. He came down here to the earth. He became obedient, even to a death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, things in heaven, earth, under the earth, every tongue would confess Jesus Christ, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When I read those words to this demon-possessed person, those demons begin to cry out in loud voices, "Do not say that. I cannot stand that. Don't say that." And so I began to read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again, until finally the devil threw the little girl down in front of me, and she began to bow to me at the name of Jesus. She was not bowing to me. She was bowing to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. She was compelled, even against her will, to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to bow her knee, even if it was not willingly. And that night I saw the authority and the power that's in the Word of God. Now, I happened to be using my King James Version. Now, you know, if I'd have had an NIV or a New Living Translation or the Living Bible, maybe the same thing would have happened. I don't know. But all I know is that my Bible had authority, it had power, and it caused the demonic realm to submit to Jesus and submit to me because of the name of Jesus. And it always made an impression on me. And it made me think there's something in the Bible that the devil doesn't want me to know about. And it began my biblical search for truth. Point number two, when I'm comparing other translations, I do prefer a literal translation that's seeking to come from the Greek literally into English, and it usually makes that English translation harder to understand, but it's very literal and very, accurate. There's a free translating that kind of doesn't necessarily go to the Greek grammatical correctness, but it gives you the meaning, and then we have paraphrase, we have all different kinds of translation, but a literal translation seeks more for a word-for-word rendering of the Greek text. Point number three is that I believe that the best Greek text is that which is supported by the majority of existing Greek manuscripts. We have over 5,000 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, and they are also called the majority text. And it's the text in which our King James Version, our New King James Version, the Tyndale Translation, the Geneva Bible, and all of these translations for hundreds and hundreds of years were translated from. Now I've said all of these things tonight just to say this one thing. This is why I use not understanding. I can work in Greek and in tenses and different things like that, but I am an English person, and English is my language, believe it or not. And I have found that in the Western manuscripts that you are going to have around 15% more material than you will find in the Eastern manuscripts. Now, the Eastern manuscripts, also known as the Alexandrine text, relies heavily on two manuscripts that were discovered in the late 1800s. And these two manuscripts often disagree with one another. In fact, in your modern Bible translations that use the Eastern manuscripts to translate from, which most of your modern translations use the Eastern text, you will find as many as 5,337 deletions. And here is the ones that are most outstanding. You can check me out and check your Bible out as well. If your Bible that you are using is a Bible that has been translated from the Eastern Alexandrine text, you'll have 15% less material. You'll have about 5,337 deletions. And these are the verses that you will not find in your Bible. You will not find Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, Matthew 23:14, Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44-46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:16, John 5:3b and John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:34, Acts 24:6b and verse 7, Acts 28:29, Romans 16:24, and 1 John 5:7b and 8a will not be found in most modern translations if they are using the Eastern manuscripts. And yet the Eastern manuscripts are what many people or theologians say are older and they must be better and they must be more accurate. Now, in my thinking is God has preserved his word for thousands of years. And why should I believe that in the 1800s, two old manuscripts were discovered and they are the most accurate, which means for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that I really had an inaccurate Bible. It's hard for me to believe that. Acts 8:37, the eunuch, Philip was testifying to the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch says, here's water, what would hinder me from being baptized? Well, Acts 8:37 isn't in most of the modern translation, and yet it is the profession of the Ethiopian eunuch when he says, when Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is his profession. It's hard for me to believe that that is not part of the Word of God, and yet many, if not most modern translations, does not even contain that verse. Now, this is what Edward W. Goodrick, one of the translators of the NIV translation, made this profound statement when he said this. I'm quoting now is my Bible, the inspired Word of God on page 55. He said this. He said, nor should the textual critic go by the age of the manuscript alone, as if the older would always be the better, for we don't know how old the parent manuscript was when its offspring was born. A 7th century manuscript might have been copied from a 6th century manuscript, but a 15th century manuscript might have been copied from a 3rd century manuscript. So those that saying these two manuscripts are the older ones, they must be the complete ones, they must be the right ones, and yet they contain 5,337 deletions. That's hard for me to believe. I believe that the Bible translations, such as the King James Version, that is translated from the Western manuscript tradition, over 5,000 of manuscripts compared, is a very honest translation. Italics are used in that translation to show you if there's no corresponding word in Greek. Most of the modern translations do not give you the italics. They paraphrase and put a word in there and don't tell you that it is not in the original Greek. A lot of modern translations don't do this, so they're not as honest as we would say the King James Version is when it inserts italics and shows you there's no Greek word to correspond to that English word. Now, I believe that there are some translations that are better than others. The King James Version was completed by 47 of the best scholars of the day. And some translations and paraphrases today are done only by one man, and usually they do not have the checks and balances that a committee of men have when the committee checks one another's work. So how can I use the modern translations to my advantage? This is how I do it. I use the King James or a translation that comes from the Western manuscript traditions as my foundational text because I know it has 15% more material in it. It won't have the deletions. It'll have the complete, all of the verses. There won't be any verses missing from the Bible when you use that text. But because the King James Version of 1611 is hard to understand in some of its old English words and styles, I'll use modern translations and use them kind of as a commentary. It enlightens me. It uses phrases and words that are more modern, easier to understand. So I use my foundational text of the King James Version, and yet I use all the modern translations to my own advantage by using them as a commentary. Why go to a commentary and get some man's opinion when I can go to the Word of God and use hundreds of the most gifted scholars of the past 100 years to help me understand what this verse is saying? Because good translations should say the very same thing, communicate the very same message, only in different words. Good translations should say the same thing, but sometimes in different styles. You can gain insight into the meaning of passages that have become overfamiliar in just one translation. You can gain word meanings of words without going to a lexicon or a dictionary to look something up in the Greek. By comparing translations, you can see how a word is translated and get a good understanding of what that might mean in the Greek. Some translations even have insight into the tenses of Greek, which would help you understand a passage as well. Now, when there are differences in translations, and it's just not a matter of style, realize that the meaning of the verse is difficult, and there may be two or more meanings of words or phrases that may be possible in Greek. And from time to time, that may happen in a particular verse. So what am I saying? I'm saying use and take advantage of the modern translations today. A lot of them are broken down into paragraphs, so you get a complete thought of several verses, and it'll help you discover complete thoughts and ideas. I use translations all the time in my Bible study, and it really helps me and gives me insight into the scriptures that I never had before. Now, here are a few books that I have and I use, and I wouldn't trade for. They're my most precious books. I just wouldn't trade them. I've got a parallel New Testament. It's called the Contemporary Parallel New Testament. It's put out by Oxford, OXFORD. The ISBN number is 0-19-5281-36-5. Oxford University Press. It has 8 translations just in this one New Testament. It has the King James Version, the New American Standard Bible, the New Century Bible, the Contemporary English Version, the New International Version, the New Living Translation, the New King James Version, and the Message. It's all laid out there side by side. I can read the verse out of 8 translations side by side, and it really magnifies and helps me to understand a verse that might be difficult or hard to understand. I have another 8 translation New Testament. It's put out by Tyndale House. It has the King James, the Living Bible, Phillips Modern English, the Revised Standard Version, Today's English Version, the New International Version, the Jerusalem Bible, the New English Bible. I have another 4 translation called Layman's Parallel New Testament. It has the King James, the Amplified New Testament, the Living Bible, the Revised Standard. So in just 3 books, and I've got some others that have 8 translations. I have another book that has 8 translations, 8 different translations also. So that has helped me immensely because I'm committed to the Word of God. I'm not committed to somebody's commentary. I'm not committed to someone's denominational creed. I'm not committed to someone's doctrinal box of, you know, they've got their verses that they acknowledge and their verses that it's outside of the box that they don't acknowledge. I acknowledge, as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't try to dispensationalize verses and put them in a different age, although I get the idea, but I know that all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So I don't take some of these modern day ideas that takes the Word of God from us. I don't believe we should add to the Word of God, and I don't believe we should take away from the Word of God. God knows the understanding. Does that mean I understand all the scriptures? No. Does that mean, but that means that I will not set the Word of God against one another, because the Word of God is the mind of God, and I will honor it regardless if it's within, quote, quote, the denominational creed that I'm a part of. I will honor all of the Word of God as being, as it is in truth, the Word of God. So I'm sharing these things today with you just so that you might know when you open your Bible and find that Acts 8:37 is not in your Bible. Or you might look at Romans 8:1, there's now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. How many times have you read that or heard that read? And yet, in the Western text, it says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when you take those phrases out of the Scripture, then you kind of change the meaning, so to speak, of the Scriptures. And so I think it's very important that we embrace the Word of God in its fullness. So tonight, I hope that I've encouraged you in some way to be more zealous in your study of the Scriptures, to not badmouth different translations and say these people are of the devil and this and that, but just notice, but just take note that if they're translating from a Greek text that has 15% less material in it, then their Bible is going to have 15% less material in it. And if it doesn't have Acts 8:37 in the Greek text, they cannot translate Acts 8:37. But when you use the Western manuscripts, of the 5,000 manuscripts that have been used down through the centuries to bring us our Bible, I would rather just work with the full set of tools. I'll let you decide what you want to do, which translations you want to do. I use all of the translations to my advantage. okay? Because they've been used, scholars have that really know Hebrew and Greek and have studied the scriptures, have done some wonderful translation work in the last 100 years, and I embrace them all so that I might know and understand the scripture in a more full way. But I also want to use the full measure of tools, the full amount of scripture, or as the book of Revelation says, not to be adding to or taking away from it. So God bless you as you continue to study his word, and I just hope that this little teaching here has helped you in some form or fashion as you are pursuing not black and white words on a page, but the God behind these words. May God bless you as you pursue, as it says in John 1:1, the Word was with God and the Word was God, Ephesians 6:17. Take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.